the Welly Sport Podcast, where our aim is to provide interesting sports-related conversations with anyone from the world of sport, including old Wellingtonians now involved in sport or other individuals who now work within the world of sport. For today's episode, I, Mr. McDonald, am joined by Darcy Bourne, who captained the first 11 hockey this year. She's captained England under-18s and played for England under-21s. She played in the first 11 for 4 years at Wellington. And I'm joined by OW Sophie Ragg, who is now over in America at university. And she too played hockey for the first 11 for 4 years when she was here, first seven netball, and played rugby for the girls team, graduating in 2018. We're going to look at getting stuck into the challenges around balancing multiple sports at school, what American university sport looks like, and a whole lot more topics around girls sport and what that entails at Wellington College and how we can make that better. Firstly, Darcy, how are you? What have you been up to in isolation?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Been trying to keep myself busy so I'm not getting too bored, just going on runs, doing a bit of sunbathing while it's sunny. Not much else, yeah.
And what's your Wellington sports story, Darcy? What would be your sort of main memories from 5 years here?
I've got to say most of it's going to be on the hockey field. And I've been quite lucky with the year group I have. They were quite a good bunch of hockey players. So since third form, we've been quite successful. But then we've also just naturally, as a team, we're all best friends. And so it's just been really fun throughout the 5 years, like going up together and getting closer.
Did you cross over? Did you play with Sophie when you were younger?
Yeah, when I was in fourth form. And what were you in, lower sixth?
Yeah, I think so. We also got to share a lot of bus rides to Surbiton together.
And we played like regional stuff together. I can't even remember when that was. I think I was in third form.
Yeah, I think 2016, we did a lot of Surbiton stuff together.
Yeah, and like, was it High Pack and JLPC? Yep. Yeah, I think I met you there before Wellington or something. I can't remember.
Cool. And Sophie, welcome. How are you? What does isolation look like in the Rag household? We had Frosty on last week, who was a bit of a dynasty. The Rags are another one. We've got one currently in the school, another two recent graduates. How are you coping?
Yeah, we're all doing pretty well. I am currently doing university courses from the comfort of my home, and Eddie's also doing his Wellington classes. So we're kind of, Hugh, my other brother, he's on a gap year right now. So he's kind of keeping himself busy and probably being the most useful child and actually helping around the house, whereas Eddie and I are definitely using school as our excuse to get away with not doing anything.
So tell us about your Wellington story. How did it start? What did you do while you were here?
So in third form, when I arrived, I pretty much wanted to do every single thing possible. So hockey, netball, athletics, was really interested in all of kind of like extracurricular sports, joined like things like triathlon club and mountain biking, and did a bit of like rock climbing and things like that. So really kind of threw myself into everything. And then in the middle sort of years, I focused specifically on hockey. And then getting into my upper sixth years, I just did rugby. And that kind of became my main sport until I graduated.
And what have you, so you said you're at American University. What are you doing there? What does that look like?
So the original plan was I was going to go to America on a hockey scholarship. So that was kind of what I had laid out all my plans to do. But then sort of midway through my last year of upper sixth, I decided actually that I wanted to do rugby at university. So I'm now at Dartmouth College on a rugby scholarship instead.
Cool. And Darcy, you're off to American University, aren't you, in August?
Yeah, August, yeah.
And where? Which university are you going to?
So I'm going to Duke, or as Americans say, Duke. Yeah, so that's very excited for that.
Definitely. Oh, that's really cool. And we'll certainly delve into that a little bit more later on, and we'll talk about the differences between university sport and certainly over there, where basically treated like professional sports people from what I can see.
Yes.
So what we're going to do then to start with, Sophie, we're going to start with a little icebreaker to try and get us flowing. Since you have been over in America now for a year and a half, we're hoping that you haven't picked up too much of the language and you're still still down with the English terms, and not we haven't lost you completely. So Darcy is going to read out a word for you in American, and you've got to tell us the English translation for that American word.
Oh, I meant to put my best American accent on this.
Yeah, I want an American accent. I'm going to give you 3 seconds, Sophie. I'm going to see what mark you can get out of 5. 3 seconds for each word. Okay.
Challenge is on. Yep.
Cool. Pants.
Trousers.
Yep.
Football.
American football.
Yeah. Chips.
Chris.
Yeah. Public school.
Ooh. Like the same as our private school. No.
Yeah.
The same as
our private school.
No, so a public school is a state school in America, i.e. open to the public. They would call all their private schools.
Interesting. Private. Wouldn't have known.
There you go.
Learn something every day.
Zip code.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, postal address.
Yeah.
Postcode. Yeah, I'll give you that postcode. I'll give you that. 4 out of 5. Strong.
Not strong. Bad.
Okay, so let's dig into sort of the American university stuff then. So, Darcy, you got some stuff you want to ask around that?
Generally, why did you decide America over the UK?
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't really want to go to university in the UK, to be honest. I kind of had my heart set on sports or something else. I considered joining the military or doing something different to sticking with school. And opportunity to go to America sort of came up, and there was really not many reasons not to go. It was an incredible opportunity. I love traveling and exploring new places, and so it was like a really good way to get out and meet a new culture and meet new people. And then on the sporting side, it was like ideal because I really enjoyed school at Wellington, but I really enjoyed sport as well. And staying in the UK, I couldn't quite see the opportunity of me being able to carry on both at the level I wanted to, whereas going over to America, I could, you know, take really interesting classes on bigger range of different things, which were really interesting, but also keep up rugby at the same time. So, yeah, and kind of just my next big adventure, really.
Yeah. And do you want to explain how, like, the classes or the education bit's different in America to most UK unis?
Yeah. So one thing I loved is when I first arrived, you don't actually have to decide what you years until sort of halfway through your second year, so you can really study anything. So I really enjoyed just kind of like branching out and trying lots of different things. It's usually a 4-year module, so you would go, you have like freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, and senior year. So when I first arrived, I studied all sorts of different things, classes in like the arts, the computer science, biology, chemistry, and then you can kind of like narrow it down. And one really exciting thing is that you can also combine your majors. So if you have, I don't know, something you're really interested in, but it doesn't quite fit into a degree, you can almost design your own degree, which really fits your strengths and like the niche things that you want to study, which I think is incredible because that's going to fit into the world. Like if you have skills into something, that's going to help you in the world a lot more than kind of fitting all of your different passions into a box.
Yeah, definitely. And you were talking about sport, and Mr. McDonald said earlier how in America, sports, like student athletes, as they call it, are treated like celebrities. Is that true?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. I'm sure it's quite similar to you, I guess. I kind of was told that going in. I didn't really believe it. I don't know what you think. But one of the great things, I think, which has been a real eye-opener, is that there is a huge respect for women's sport. In the fact that people come to games, there are stadiums for the majority of varsity sports. So whether that be rugby or hockey or American football or basketball, whatever it is, like a lot of people attend sporting events, and it's a big part of their culture to really like social events will be set around sporting events, which I think is really cool. And then the other thing that kind of took me by surprise, but I think is kind of nice, is that whenever I go and visit a friend's house in the States, like I'll go and visit people and their family, the first thing they'll do when they introduce me to their parents or to their family is say that I'm an athlete. So that kind of the status that it holds. Before they even know my name, they'll know that I'm an athlete.
Can I just jump in there, Darcy? What I'm really interested in is how, so this is a question to both of you. There'll be people on here that might not have considered American University. And Sophie, it's cool to hear you talk about why it was and the benefits academically. What is the process that one goes through to, if they think they might be good enough? So Darcy, talk us through what happened for you to end up choosing Duke.
Well, I think my process is probably not the most normal, I guess, because I was, this lady approached me called Holly Cram, and she approached me at one of my England games being like, oh, I think you've got good talent. Have you ever considered US unis? And then it kind of went off from there. She now runs the company Aspire USA, which have now broadened off to more sports than hockey. And for me, when I was younger, like watching movies and stuff, I saw that sports culture and I always thought that'd be really cool. But hockey, England hockey had always said you couldn't go to America and come back and compete for England. But they changed their rule. They changed that and allowed people to go out a few years ago. So when she approached me, I was like, brilliant. As Sophie said, I like traveling. It's just a great, you know, opportunity to travel and get a degree, experience a new culture. So once I got in contact with her, she put me in contact with loads of different unis, like 10, 15 unis. So I had to narrow it down. And luckily for me, hockey is on the up in America and they're looking for European students. So I had some incredible unis like Harvard and Stanford offering me places and scholarships. But then what I visited, Harvard, Stanford, Michigan and Duke. And for me, Duke was just the best combination of everything I was looking for in uni. It was the vibe, first of all, just shouted me. And then also the hockey at Duke's really good. The culture and sport and then the academics, I just thought it'd be great.
Cool. So that was, someone from a company came and approached you.
Obviously I had to do like the SAT and everything like that. And that there are classes provided at Wellington, which I would advise to do because studying for the SAT on your own is quite difficult. And it's different to anything we've done here in England. And if you are applying, I would advise doing that before, like in your lower sixth or fifth form summer. You might not want to in fifth form summer, but you won't want to do it when you've got work in sixth form. I got mine out of the way in August before lower sixth, and that was a great decision compared to some people who are doing it this year in my classes.
I can attest to that. I'm the student that was doing it in the summer of my lower sixth, so Darcy is speaking all truth.
It sounded stressful.
I was I had 1 week where the entire week was all of my IB mocks and an SAT in the same week, which I remember very fondly.
And you can take it as many times as you want, which most people don't realise. So even if you take it early and you can just retake it until you get what you need, it's quite good.
So there's no loss to taking it early and having a go.
Except the fact that it's Sophie, 4 hours long.
Sophie, is that similar to your story? How did you get picked up on sort of the American radar and how did it go with you?
Yeah, so I guess one thing that like really sparked my interest when I was listening to Darcy was that Darcy talked about like the vibe at Duke really resonated with you. It's so true. Like when I went to Dartmouth, I had like the same feeling, and I think what's so cool is that they have such different like identities. Picking the right one is like probably the hardest bit of the whole process because it's like got to feel right. And I'm so glad like that you experienced that because.
Because before my visits on paper, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go to Harvard. Great. And I went there and it was my least favorite. So I think visiting is quite important if you can.
Yeah, definitely true. And then in terms of how I kind of was discovered, as Darcy said, they're definitely up on the up with the hockey. So they're very proactive, sending scouts out into the UK or other places. Like I know they've got a lot of scouts out in Holland. And so hockey is really what got me on the American radar. And then once I was kind of in that system, I then transferred to rugby. But what's quite cool now is that I think there's definitely, in at least even the last couple of years since I was applying, they've started being more active with rugby recruitment as well, which is really, especially female rugby recruitment, because I think that's an area in America that is up and coming right now and is a very exciting space in the next couple of years, especially because they've got an incredible like training center, their Olympic training center, and they're really putting a lot of resources and effort into the Sevens World Series right now, which hopefully will show them results in the following years.
Yeah, so let's thinking then about rugby, Sophie. That would be a really cool thing to think about for people that are perhaps you hadn't. When did you start playing rugby? When did you first sort of think about it?
So my start to rugby was quite funny, actually, because it was very out of the blue. They started like a women's rugby team at Wellington in the second term of my lower sixth year. And we were trying to get like a first women's sevens team together. And when I first heard about it, I was so excited because I'm really good Holly Brand, Rory Brand's little sister, who was here for her upper six, and she was a rugby player, and she joined my house. We became really good friends. Really cool girl. And she was like, yeah, we're going to do this start team. Like, would you be down to join? I was like, yeah, for sure. And I asked all of my mates in kind of the first hockey team and other couple of girls who are like really sporty, and they're all kind of the same mindset of like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's go for it. So we kind of wanted to see what it was like, see what all the fuss was about, especially with kind of a lot of our mates being on the boys like first team and it being such a hyped up thing. So we're like, oh, it can't be that hard. Let's give it a go. I was wrong. It was very hard. I think I got very beaten up in my first couple of games. But
I remember you doing your first games because we were like quite good friends back then. And I remember like you coming back with Holly to the gym and you guys talking about it. You just got into it so quickly, I remember.
Yeah, it was incredible. I honestly loved it. Like when I found out that like you were allowed to like smash people and you're like allowed to get dirty and like you're allowed to like the whole point of it was like to run through people. Like I was always in trouble in hockey for like being too like aggressive or like pushing people off the ball or like running out when I was like running out first. Out of the goal for short corners, I'd always like run into the person drag flicking, which isn't ideal. So yeah, I definitely found my niche there. So once we'd like got this team together, we only really had like 3 weeks of practice and we kind of learned the basics, tackling, how to tackle safely and things like that. And then we had our first tournament and it couldn't have been a better start to a rugby sevens career because the conditions were awful. The field was completely flooded and there were areas of the field that were so wet that they had to stop the breakdown, get us all to stand up, move into a dry area and then resume the game because they were worried that people would drown. So not highly competitive because I don't think they'd do that in a rugby tournament that was highly competitive. And secondly, like a lot of fun. We all got completely covered in mud. But we ended up winning the entire tournament, which was really cool because it just showed that you don't really, the sevens especially, need to have a huge amount of rugby knowledge to be that successful. And we kind of just took the right attitude and a lot of girls that had good physical ability and kind of just turned up and tried to see what we could achieve. And that was a really cool day, I think. And then from then on, we like had a couple more fixtures and things. And then, hopefully rugby at Wellington will like follow suit after that. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll pick back up on sort of what female sport and particularly female rugby might look like at Wellington later on. In terms of, again, going back to this idea of what it looks like in America, an NFL draft this afternoon and this sort of 21, 22-year-old American footballers about to have their lives made or turned upside down, and those guys are playing in front of, what, 100,000 people, 60,000 people regularly. What would it be for Dartmouth rugby or for Duke hockey, what sort of number are we looking at sort of people to play in front of, and what are the cool experiences there?
Yeah, so from my experience, it really does like sort of depend on the sport and like the culture of the university. So I'm pretty lucky because Dartmouth is really, really proud of its rugby teams. It's got quite a strong rugby history, and so we don't have a stadium per se, but that was a choice by the rugby club as a whole. They actually have a traditional field and clubhouse, which they quite like. So the vibe is very much kind of like sort of first 15 at Big Side type vibe, in the sense that we have kind of like banked hills that all the crowd comes and stands at. We have, I guess, the equivalent of the Stooges come. And it's, yeah, it's actually incredible, the atmosphere. We're not bringing in huge numbers, and there's definitely a lot of work to be done there, especially in terms of women's games versus men's games. But I think there's work to be done there in most sports around the world. But yeah, in general, it's a pretty big crowd. Ice hockey, I know the ice hockey women, because they've got a full stadium, they bring in quite a lot of people. The equivalent of baseball for men bring in quite a big crowds. It's definitely a big deal. And what's nice is that even if people are unable to attend games, there's a big hype on the media about events. And we won the national championships in my first year, which was really cool experience. And winning a national championships in America is almost a whole nother deal to winning one in England.
Yeah.
Because there's sort of interviews for months afterwards about it, and big ring ceremonies when we get given our it's like a tradition to have a championship ring whenever you win an Ivy championship or a national championship and things like that. So and got admittance to the Wearers of the Green, which is actually the Dartmouth College Hall of Fame. So that's all pretty cool. The recognition that you get is huge.
And is that, Darcy, I don't know how much you know about the hockey, or I don't know if you can lend a hand with the experience there, but is that a similar system, Darcy, in the hockey? Is that what?
Yeah, definitely. So when I went on my visits, I went during the season, so I saw a few hockey games. And as Sophie said, at different unis, the culture is slightly different. And at Duke, there's the rivalry between Duke and UNC, which is a local uni, and it stems from their basketball team, because Duke men's basketball is pretty big. And so, like, for example, when Duke play UNC, the stadium, so they have a little stadium, it probably holds a good few hundred, so it's good size. It's just full, and the atmosphere, it's just the support for girls' sport is better than I thought it would be. And as Sophie said, there are other sports, for example, the women's lacrosse team, I know it's quite a popular sport, and women's basketball as well. Obviously, it's not as big as some of the men's sports, but it's bigger than anything I'm used to for women's sport here, definitely.
Is that one of your main drivers, or is that just something that you're...
Oh, it's just one of those. It's just one of the things of the American package that I've always seen and thought so cool. Just the atmosphere and just the... how people perceive sport in America. I just think it's really cool.
I think the other thing about that, though, as well, is just like the way that, so Title IX, the whole thing in American colleges is that there's a thing put in place that means that nobody should be disallowed access to any opportunity based on their gender. And so, sports, that's really cool, because it basically looks like anything that's accessible to a male sports team has to be accessible in some way to a female sports team. So often in a college system, that works as like sports being paired up. So like a men's basketball has a women's basketball attached to it, men's baseball has a women's softball. And we're lucky actually that the women's rugby program is paired with the men's football team in terms of like its equivalent counterpart. And so in terms of like facilities and resources and attention and things like that, everything that the big American football teams or the big baseball teams and things that are getting a lot of attention and a lot of sort of finance gets spread out between all the sports, so everyone gets to benefit, which I think is a really cool thing. Especially like women's hockey as well, like men in America, there isn't the opportunity for men to play hockey at college at the moment, and so women's... So like field hockey is what they call it, is really, really big for women out there, and it's like one of the popular ones to go and see.
Yeah, so Frosty was talking last week, and he's at Exeter Uni, obviously here in the UK, which is certainly top five or six for rugby at the moment. He was saying one of the big challenges was was what you were talking about there, Sophie, about resource, so access to coaching, people turning up at the right time, and in comparison to school where it's very formal and you've got three coaches or formal coaches and you've got sessions and blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like in America, that's one of the positives, actually. And Darcy, you talked about the equipment and the sort of fields and all that sort of stuff, like the facilities. It sounds that's a super positive. Is that right?
When I visited at Leeds, that was one of the things I noticed, because I'm wanting to go as far as possible with hockey. So hockey was like up there, my priority when I was on my visits. And some of the facilities were just incredible. Like the gyms, I've just never seen anything like it. And every player got given a GPS for every training and match. And they got given like recovery shakes the second they stepped off the pitch, and free access to massages, x-rays, just everything. It's just nothing like, it's how professional football players are treated in England, you know? Nothing that you'd expect from a 19-year-old female sports player. Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys can picture, but on my first day at Dartmouth, we get, when you arrive early for pre-season. So my whole day schedule is just like a sports schedule, which was incredible. But I turn up and I look on the agenda and it's like 6:30 a.m. Weight session. So I'm like kind of hyped about it. And I turn up and I walk into this building that's genuinely the same size as the football field. And it's just rows upon rows of squatting racks. And I just like think to myself, this is the most incredible thing ever. Because the facilities are incredible. And what's so cool about it is that they really see you as like a student athlete. You're not really considered as a student. And that kind of label kind of lends itself to this attitude of like, these group of people are taking their sport seriously. And what's so nice about that is like that group includes the same amount of women as it does men. And it takes money. So no one is professional. You're not allowed to be at a varsity sports player at an American university and be earning money at the same time. It's just one of the rules. Kind of this environment where you are in this fully professional place and being able to work on your sport, but you're amongst different athletes from different walks of life, from different genders, which I think is really a really rare environment, really, to be improving your sports.
Oh, that's cool. I think we'll come back to the sort of that we painted America there to be the absolute utopia, and no one's going to end up going to English unis if we keep.
I'm talk very biased, sort of, I have to say.
We'll talk about the sort of challenges later on, and what the drawbacks are, because I'm sure there are some things that we can pick up on and look at. So, Sophie, let's think about now more your time at school, and now we've heard where you've got to, let's try and link back to that and play together for a couple of years. Darcy, what are your memories of Sophie when she was in sixth form and you were sort of getting to know each other on the bus to Surbiton?
Yeah, I don't know. I knew her on a more personal level, obviously, because we played together for quite a while. But I remember girls in my year in the hockey team and just generally just knew Sophie as that like fun, friendly girl who... Because, I mean, there was a bit of a hierarchy back then, but you were one of those people that just clearly didn't care about hierarchy, and that was really nice. And also seeing how you got involved in other sports. For example, like you said about the rugby, after that year, the girls' rugby has become more of a thing, definitely. And it's just, I guess you just tried everything. You did Marines, just did everything. One of those people, like, how does anyone have that much time to do all the stuff, you did it. It was just quite impressive, really.
What about you, Sophie? Do you remember young Darcy when you first met her? She was 13, 14.
Yeah, young Darcy was like a little puppy constantly napping at my heels. She was incredible, to be honest. I definitely, she definitely kept me in check. I remember in fifth form thinking, I've got this sus now, like in the hockey team. Like kind of found my feet, and then here comes Darcy, like all the talent, all the skill, all the attitude, like really hardworking. It was, it was really cool. But also just I think in terms of outside of Wellington is actually probably when we've got to spend more time together.
Yeah, definitely.
The Surbiton and doing different like England pathway camps and things. Mm-hmm. I think that was really cool because I really got to appreciate someone who has really like dedicated her life and her way of life to her sport, and I think it's really admirable how much you put into the thing that you love. So honestly, like, it may not seem like this, like me being older and things like that, but I've learned a lot from you over the years. So for that, I'm
making me blush.
Darcy, but so if by that point you'd been playing quite a lot of hockey, what was your story sort of pre-Wellington? We didn't really dig into that. What had you been doing before, and where did it come from?
Well, I mean, I played every sport you could possibly play at prep school. Like, I did tennis, swimming. I was in the boys' football team until they kicked me off. I just did cross-country athletics, literally everything I get my hands on. And it was when I got to a certain age and the teachers said at prep school that I wasn't allowed to play with the boys anymore. They forced me to do hockey. I was having none of it, but I had no choice. And then it was just one of those things I picked up. I remember doing the first few sessions and I wasn't the best at that sport, and I just didn't like not being good at something. So all the girls around me played at club. So after a little bit, once I decided I wanted to improve, I mean, I tried a bit harder, joined the club, and then slowly I noticed grew to like it more and more. But I was juggling hockey and athletics for a long time.
Yeah.
And I couldn't decide between the two of them. And it got to the point where in year eight, I was choosing between schools, senior schools. It was basically between Millfield if I wanted to pursue athletics or Wellington if I wanted to pursue hockey, because here we had the deal that I could still play at Surbiton. And obviously Millfield was just too far for that. So coming to Wellington, I kind of made my choice for hockey and just stuck with it. So I remember from like a really young age watching like the Olympics on TV, being like, I really want to go there. I don't know what sport in, don't really care. I just want to go there.
Oh, that's cool.
And then at Wellington, it's just, I mean, Mr. Carr's been brilliant, and the group of girls that I've played with has been amazing. I think I've been quite lucky with like the school that I go to and where I live, that I'm so close to like such a great club. Like, I didn't realise it when I joined it, because Surbiton is just the closest club to my house, but they've had a crazy amount of Olympians and like international players that I'm lucky enough to train with like on a weekly basis.
On that note, Das, with another little fond memory of our Surbiton days, you saying you live so close, is one of my like fondest memories is we'd have like a training session and we'd have like that long bus journey all the way to the club and that long bus journey. Yeah. But your mum would sometimes come to the club and like cook us
food.
And it was the best thing. Honestly, the kindest thing as well. Like, because I live like pretty far away from Surbiton, so that wasn't really an option. And a lot of the time, homemade food from your mum is definitely one of my best hockey memories.
I back my mum for a good meal.
So, Sophie, on thinking about memories, what was your favourite Wellington memory on the sports field? What do you remember fondly? I mean, you talk well about that Sevens tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely up there. That was a pretty special experience, because I think what was special about that as well was like, it was a lot of my really good mates were kind of older because of the whole first team hockey setup. And so a lot of them were in the year above. And that was kind of one of those moments where I was on a sports field with really, really admired and thought we're really, really cool and we're really good friends, but we're also all just like having so much fun at the same time without, and it, I don't know, it was just it was one of those moments that was special. And then I guess on the hockey field my last because of certain circumstances, my last ever hockey game I actually played was on the South Africa hockey tour in I think 2017. My lower six summer. And I just remember loving every single second of every single game we played. And I don't know whether it was because there was no pressure on the games because the leagues didn't actually mean anything, or whether it was because I was there in a really cool country with my good friends. But I just remember like every single second of those games I absolutely loved.
Darcy, what about you? Have you got a memory which stands out at the moment? I mean, it might change over the years, but what would you say at the moment?
I don't know. I find it difficult because, like, picking one moment, I mean, I'm pretty bad at making decisions. But there are just so many memories with the hockey team. And as I've said before, most of the girls on that team are my best friends. And we just have a good time together. And since we had Mr. Carr all the way through from third form to upper sixth, we got that bond with him where I guess we could push the boundaries a little bit. But it meant that we had a good time. There was trust both ways. So, for example, like at nationals, we won a few nationals, and those were like great moments we win. But also just a little, like the hotel. Because it's overnight, and just the fun we would have all together, just messing around, but all with the same interest and, you know, wanting to, yeah. I can't put one moment on it.
That's really exciting. And I like how this will segue quite nicely into now thinking about sort of favourite coaches and favourite teachers. Darcy's talked really highly there of Mr. Carr and the relationship, sort of two-way trust. Sophie, who's your favourite? So we'll start with sports coach, but then go into who your favourite teacher was as well.
I have so many fond memories of teachers at Wellington. I think in terms of sports coaches, someone who really had like quite a big impact on me was definitely Sophia Candapa. She was my netball coach. She was also my tutor, so we had like quite a good relationship. Pretty much went to her with everything. But I just found it so incredible that she was there, she was teaching, she was so humble, yet she's also been playing netball for England, netball for Wasps, doing incredible things outside of school. But the other thing as well is that I think she had a lot of belief in me that I at the time didn't really have. She put me in the first seven netball team when I was in fourth form, which was pretty much didn't really happen in netball because I know, I guess it was maybe a height thing, but also kind of an experience thing. And I was definitely out of my depth socially because everybody was in the sixth form, and I definitely wasn't kind of mature enough really to form like good relationships with those girls. I mean, I did in the end, but it was definitely hard to start with. And she just kind of like never doubted my ability in that team, even though I did. So that meant quite a lot to me. And then, gosh, my non-sporting teachers, I think Keith Reesby was quite a big effect on me. Pardon?
A lot of psychology love here. Two psychology teachers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, that wasn't for psychology reasons, to be fair. That was definitely for the Royal Marines.
Okay.
He headed the Royal Marines for the 4 years that I was in it, along with Mr. Wilkinson, which was pretty cool. And that's definitely the place where I've learned the most at Wellington, to be honest. I mean, not sure we have time to talk about all the stuff now, but Royal Marines and Field Gun were two of my best experiences at the school. And yeah, he definitely helped with sort of like helping me through some tougher times for sure that I'd experienced at Wellington. And then of course, my favorite maths teacher.
Well, yeah, I was hoping I was going to make an appearance.
Well, somebody had to get me through GCSE maths, so
I can only keep inviting OWs that I've
taught. I am forever thankful for
the
that.
Right answer to that question. So that's really cool to hear. So Darcy, you talked about Mr. Carr, and as I say, the relationship aspect and the trust that you built sort of both ways. When Sam and James were talking about this, they were talking about that understanding from teacher to pupil and how that changes as you go through the school, as you become a sixth former, as you become an upper sixth. And Sophie, you're saying that, again, Miss Candapa was sort of treating you a bit older when you were a bit younger and almost, as you say, forcing you out your social comfort zone. Would you say it was that sort of empathy and the human aspect of their teaching, or is it something else that you think makes them the best?
I think for me, with the sort of the netball situation, it was actually interesting that you sort of mentioned the whole like forcing me out of my comfort zone socially. I think the thing with that is she was just able to, she just acted in a way that made me believe that I was capable of more than what I originally believed. And in terms of sort of like the hierarchy things that Darcy were talking about earlier, I think being able to be in that netball team and sort of learn that actually age doesn't really matter at all. A fourth former is perfectly capable of being friends with an upper sixth former. I think that was like a really valuable lesson that she taught to me. And I think she was also good at just telling me to sort of not worry so much about the little things. Like I would often come to her about all sorts of things, be overwhelmed by all the different things I'm doing. And she was very good at sitting me down and just being like, it's okay, you're human. it doesn't matter. So she definitely, I think it's kind of that empathetic side. I think being a boarding school as well is important, that sort of pastoral side to teachers, and realizing that, yeah, okay, she was my psychology teacher, she was also my netball coach, but it's also kind of acting as a role model as well. She was definitely somebody that I look up to as like a female athlete and a person as well.
Any thoughts on that sort of favourite coach sort of stuff, Darcy?
Yeah, well, I guess with Mr. Carr, I guess he like allowed me to get where I am with hockey, because like he let me out of school for like club commitments.
Yeah.
But then in terms of favourite teachers, you're saying, was it Spink or Frosty was saying it, but as you like go through the school, your relationship with the teachers grow. And because we are boarding, or most of us are, you just, I guess you gain that relationship with teachers, and it becomes, as you, I don't know, by the time I'd left the school, I'd considered like teachers to be closer than teachers, a lot of them now. Yeah. And you just had good relationships, like could almost call them a friend without that being weird. but I don't know, it'd be hard to pinpoint like my favourite teacher, because just so many of them by the end were so great. Like my HM, all my sports teachers, the PE staff, I mean, it's just good band in lessons. Like you and Saeed made maths bearable. I don't know. Yeah, I think I appreciate the teachers at Wellington, definitely.
I'll take a communal thank you for everyone on that regard. So let's go back then. Let's change tacks a little bit. Let's think back to Sophie at America and Darcy just about to go on this sort of big journey that Sophie started. Darcy, do you want to ask a few questions about sort of challenges?
Yeah. So obviously very excited, but it's also quite scary because it's so different. Well, it's just new, isn't it? So when you moved, did you find there was much of a cultural difference? Because that's one thing I am slightly about.
So it's really interesting. It's definitely it definitely is more different than I ever anticipated. People still don't laugh at my jokes. They just don't understand my British humour at all. But it's fine because I don't laugh at theirs, so it's even. I think one of the, for me, I think one of the hard things was in terms of things, it made more sense for me to just kind of like, so my visit was paid for, which was great. So I managed to like roughly know what was going on. But then when I actually went out for real, it made more sense for me to just like fly on my own and stay out there for the first year. Pretty expensive.
Did you come back at Christmas or anything?
Yeah. So the first year, I'll tell you about that. I was pretty lucky actually. So arriving in a new country on your own, to a place where you kind of realize that you don't know anything on the entire continent, is quite a daunting kind of idea.
Yeah.
But honestly, like as soon as you get there, that just melts away immediately. Like you meet new people straight away. Being on a team is an absolute saint, because immediate friendships right there. Like you're training with people every day, you're eating meals with them, you're going to the gym with them, like all of that's absolutely fine. It's really good fun. To be honest, I don't think I was ever scared. It was more kind of excited anticipation to what kind of years would hold. And honestly, every time I go back, it's the same. Like more things are discovered, new people are met. I learn more and more about the culture, especially because I've had the opportunity to go on different trips with the university and see more of the country. So I've done a lot of surfing there now. So with the surf club, we traveled to Hawaii, to California, to Barbados, places like this, which is, so it's like funded by the university, but you get to like be in little surf competitions and stuff and doing that. And often we sort of like slum with like mates who live in the local area because it's cheaper for the club. So for Hawaii, we stayed at our mate's house who live in Maui. For California, we stayed at a friend's house in LA and then camped coast. Kind of like just took a van and camped up the coast and stuff like that. And you really get to experience like what it's like to live in these places. And that for me has been really valuable because it's just opened up my eyes to all these like sort of different ways of living. Because honestly, before going to America, I just kind of assumed that I'd live in the village that I live in now. And when I was older, I'd still live here and probably get a job somewhere near here and like never really considered moving anywhere else because that's just kind of what people do here. But seeing all these places has really opened up my eyes to all that is out there, which is very exciting. So don't be scared, embrace it.
Yeah, I'm quite lucky because I went on a visit and I have met the whole team already. So like I know people now, so it's slightly less scary.
That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Yeah, and don't be surprised, people will ask you about your accent constantly.
Yeah. Yeah, on my visit people thought I was faking it, like I'm surprised you haven't got any accent. One of my friends, she goes to UConn, she came back at Christmas and she sounded so weird.
apparently I have a twang.
Yeah. I want to come back with an English accent, definitely.
Yeah, but no, in terms of challenges, there are obviously things that are harder. It's not all rainbows and sunshine, but I think for me the biggest challenge was probably getting injured. So I tore my other ACL in my first season out there, and having to sort of deal with that, have surgery out in a hospital over there, and then I kind of like waking up from surgery and realizing that I have like no one to drive me home or anything like that. That was quite a hard thing to go through, because kind of the first thing you want when you wake up is kind of have your family there. Or the following weeks was quite tough because my friends, obviously friends are incredible and they'll do as much as they can for you, but they had exams and they had their own priorities. So just kind of like trying to get people to bring me meals and things when I was bedbound was definitely a challenge. But all things that kind of make you stronger and learn more about yourself. So
what are you a little bit apprehensive about, Darcy? I mean, you talked briefly about the sort of contrasting pulls from England and from the American system, but is that alleviated? Is there still a little bit that wants to keep pushing England?
I mean, yeah, it is a bit of a touchy subject, I guess. And I had that dilemma. I was stuck in it earlier this year, but I'm confident in my decision. And the thing with all of this that I've, like, that dilemma made me realise that it's just worth giving it a go. Even if, say, I go out there for a year and it's not for me, at least if I can say I tried it. The chances are I will love it. So I think it's just such a great experience. Like, the fact that I've been given the opportunity to go to an amazing uni on an amazing scholarship, it would be silly to say no. I'm just going to try and take that on. I think my biggest worry is the culture thing, like whether people don't get my sense of humour and stuff like that. I'm not too worried about meeting people, because through sport I've had to meet people anyway. Like each year I'm thrown into like 10 new teams, and in my club team the average age is probably like 26 or 7, so I have to adapt socially anyway. So yeah, I think it'll be challenging, like socially more than anything, because I think the lifestyle of being a student athlete, I've had to deal with it anyway, with my hockey commitments and how, like, I guess the academic commitments of Wellington. So I think that will prepare me pretty well, and having boarded as well, that will help with the homesickness, I guess.
How about while you're at school, Sophie? What were the challenges in your sort of sick form as all this was going on, preparing for this?
So do you mean in terms of sort of like challenges I faced while a student at Wellington?
Yeah. So what did you find tough?
So I guess there are a couple of things that I came across, and they all were kind of pretty interlinked in the sense that, I guess they kind of stem from the same thing. But the first is definitely the physical thing of the summer of my lower sixth, I tore my ACL. Pretty devastating timing as well, because after that muddy, flooded rugby tournament, I got scouted to go to a talent transfer camp, and they're sort of these camps which bring in people of multiple different sports, and they trial you to see your potential of becoming England sevens player for the Olympics. So this one was for Tokyo. Really cool camp, like really enjoyed it, I loved every second of it, did all the fitness testing and things like that, and then they transferred me over to the under 18s sevens, England sevens team. So I did a bunch of summer camps with them, and then got selected to represent. We did like some training games against Ireland and Wales, and Scotland, and then got asked to go to the European Championships. So this was like a little roller coaster of a ride. Like 2 months later, I'd never played before. 2 months earlier, I'd never played rugby before, and then suddenly, like, I'm thrown into these international games, absolutely loving every single second of it. And then the week before I'm set to go to the European Championships, to get my first cap, I tear my ACL at a training tournament, which is a mandatory tournament that I had to do because in order to play an international tournament, you have to play a 2-day long sevens tournament. Just one of those health and safety risks that is kind of a box that needs to get ticked. So I'm playing in this tournament called the School Games at Loughborough University. And in the last game of the tournament, I tear my ACL. That was pretty tough because even to this day, I still haven't managed to play officially for my country. And so this is like speaking almost three years later. That was pretty gutting, and that was a hard experience because also the whole sort of emotional side kind of came flushing in the sense that I'll never have a last season with the first 11. I'll never be able to kind of like do all these upper six like sports events that I'd like been hoping to do. Like I'd been doing the Barry run every year and like was really enjoying that and had like won it and wanted to like win it again, or house relay, like the Kingsleys, all of these like kind of, for me, I don't know about other people, for me, like quite a sentimental events. So that was definitely hard on like a physical sports side. But to be honest, you know what, like having been injured in my final year definitely sort of opened up a lot of doors for me, because my whole life at Wellington up until that point had been sports. And then suddenly I had this whole year where sports was an option, and I managed to sort of fill my time with all these other opportunities that I'd never ever been able to experience before. So the first one was like really simply was just because I wasn't playing rugby meant that I could go on the upper sixth prefect trip. So that was kind of a cool little silver lining. And then I got involved with lots of charities, which I'd never had the time to do. There are definitely silver linings to that. And then I guess my other challenge of sixth form was definitely comes from sort of Royal Marines and field gun, which I absolutely loved, but there were definitely some issues in terms of lots of people not really being used to girls doing those sort of activities at Wellington. And the same with the rugby, I guess. I think it's definitely improving, but when I was at Wellington, it wasn't the norm for a girl to be in
you
the Royal
Marines.
You
were the first girl in the
Marines, weren't you? I mean, they'd had people before, but there are all sorts of horrible explanations and reasons for why they did that. And talking about role models, there was a girl called Abby Pape who was in the year above me who was in the Royal Marines and in field gun, and she was the first ever female captain of field gun, and she was she just did what she enjoyed and didn't really let what anyone thought stop her, which I thought was really cool. So definitely was trying to follow in her footsteps. But the things that I experienced in the Marines were some examples were often the section commander is a boy in the upper sixth. And when I was in the fourth form, I arrived kind of pretty shy, like didn't really know what was going on. And one of the commanders would sort of tell off one of the younger cadets for making a sexist comment or something. And as a punishment, would make them do press-ups. But what I didn't realize was that the boys doing press-ups would be doing press-ups behind me. And there would be a number of press-ups that they would rate my body or to rate like a part of my body or something like that. So or being told by in my interview for the Marines by an upper sixth boy that the only reason that I had made it because of certain physical characteristics and my appearance rather than actually being suited. So little things like that definitely were challenging to deal with as kind of like the only girl, seeming like the only girl taking the Royal Marines seriously. But I think the good that's come out of it is things like by my upper sixth, I knew that that was now a place where things like that didn't happen. And now looking at the Royal Marines and the field gun, there are lots of women or like girls who feel comfortable in those spaces and feel comfortable doing things that they enjoy. So yeah, there are definitely challenges throughout my time, but I think a lot of positive has come from both of them.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to hear you speak of, I mean, it's not cool to hear the stories, obviously, of your experiences while you were there, but it's cool to hear how proud you are of where that's coming. And you're back now, you've been back coaching this year, haven't you? You've coached some of the girls rugby, and I guess you've seen sort of female sport specifically now, 2 years out. What have you noticed about female sport and how that's changed over the last sort of 5 years? And then perhaps, Darcy, you can lend your experience as well, what you've seen.
Mm-hmm. So coming back to Wellington was really eye-opening for me, I think, because I, as a Wellington student, I wouldn't consider myself a rugby player at all. I just consider myself a student playing rugby for fun. But now in the last couple of years, rugby has become a very important part of my life. So I've kind of come back to Wellington seen it through the eyes of a rugby player. And just sort of like looking at the Monroe and all the names on the walls of all these incredible internationals that have come out of the school. Pretty incredible that as someone now who's obsessed with this sport, I was at a school and I didn't even really realize how big this sport was. And especially sort of looking up at all the walls and just seeing name after name after name of male rugby players, it kind of sparked a bit of a fire that one day maybe on the international honors boards, there might be a female women's rugby player that's like got their name up there. So that was really one thing that I like sort of saw differently. And then in terms of coaching the girls, oh, it was so incredible because sport definitely isn't their priority. Like I love them all to bits, but they kind of, I think they're definitely there for the fun and the participation aspect. But it's just so cool just watching people who kind of have never really seen themselves be able to do something, suddenly be able to do it. So things like tackling or like teaching some of the girls how to drop kick on big side and things like that just wouldn't have really happened, I don't think, when I was at school. Like I was kind of scared to go on big side, scared to go near the first because it had this aura about it. Now I'd like to think that boys on the rugby team are willing to help girls get better at the sport, no matter of what their ability is, no matter sort of what their background is. And honestly, I'm hoping that one day in 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, I come back to the Monroe and have a men's changing room and they have a women's changing room and both teams run out on that same field and both teams play 15s full games of rugby at some point, which I think would be really cool.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Darcy, what have you noticed over your time here in terms of female sport and how it sits?
Well, I guess female sport at Wellington it's not even comparable to boys' sport. In terms of, like, the quality is just as good. For example, in our year, like, we've won nationals in hockey and rugby. But it's just, I think, the mindset and, like, the culture difference. Like, the respect the rugby boys have, and that comes from themselves, but also, like, the teachers, the coaches, the rest of the school. Like, being in the rugby team is... I mean, every single boy there is really proud to be in the rugby team, and not that they're not in the hockey team, but it's very different. And it's what I noticed this year was like the attitude from within the players. Like, although I'm taking hockey very seriously and lots of girls in the team are, when we get together, it was more social than the boys. When they train, they train like 4 times a week together, maybe more if you're including their gym sessions, I'm not sure. Whereas we train like once or twice half-heartedly and it's different. But then I don't see too much sexism like Sophie might have seen when she was younger. And like we've got all the opportunities now. Like there is girls rugby. There are so many sports we can do. And I guess the netball centre was built and the little stands by the hockey, so it's definitely on the up. I think right now it's more of an attitude difference between the two, and I think a big part of that just comes from like the change in attitude of the pupils coming through. So I think each year that changes, like the same way hierarchy from my first year at Wellington to now, it's crazy the change. I think it's just one of those things that as the school keep encouraging it, which they are, it would just naturally happen. But only I don't know how far it can go, because I mean in life, I mean, just take male sport, for example, it's just different, isn't it? It's just how it is.
Maybe yeah, Wellington could be the leading light.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's a really interesting one, and perhaps the last question on this before we round up with you then, Sophie. Do you think there is a difference there, Darcy? Darcy was talking about sort of her very, very successful hockey team, just perhaps not taking training as seriously as an equally as successful rugby team. The rugby team were no more successful than the hockey team. If anything, the hockey team probably did better, maybe in national competitions. They won't appreciate me saying that. But so do you think that is that there is the change we can make there, or is that just something that is to be accepted? Sophie, you've been in a almost elite female environment now. What does that look like at training, and is there something?
Yes, so I think it's interesting. I've definitely had a lot of experiences of like different types of teams and ways teams work. Like, for example, when I was at Wellington, I played and trained with the boys' hockey team, just because, and along with a good friend of mine, Mia McCreesh, who was a hockey goalkeeper, we both played like boys, because I think we just wanted that extra bit of competition. And for me personally, I think the speed and things would sort of help. And like, they're an example of a team that were like, they would kind of mess around, have a bit of fun at training. And then I also had the opportunity to go and train with the boys' first team, with Mr. Shortland got me in doing lifting practice and a little bit of scrummaging work with the boys in like a training session, because honestly, I was at the point where I just needed some help, because I was being thrown into international training games and hadn't had enough experience. And so that is something I'm really thankful for. The boys, I mean, the boys definitely were like, what the hell is this girl doing here? But it was like a very interesting sort of like eye opener for me, because I got to kind of see, I knew what the girls hockey train like, I knew what the girls netball train like, I now knew what the boys hockey train like, and I now knew what the boys rugby train like. And it is different in the sense that I think the rugby is sort of feels the same as kind of a premiership club environment. It kind of, a lot of the boys are at academies and things like that, so that's kind of the mindset that they have. Whereas the hockey girls, it's very much like a school sport with a couple of certain girls added into the mix. Definitely contributes, but I think it's also this idea that there's already this like rugby culture established at Wellington, and so the boys have the right to take it that seriously. You know, like, it's cool to be good at rugby, it's cool to really try hard and like really be doing those extra hours at the gym, like coming down to the big side and running Broncos on your own, like kicking, like all of those things. Like, that's kind of like a cultural thing that's accepted. Whereas with girls, it's kind of this mixture of like, yes, there are the elite, there's the Darcys of the squad that are like playing England and Surbiton and things, but then the majority of girls at Wellington are sporty girls, but they're not going to really continue sport after their time at Wellington or not in a serious manner. And so it's kind of this culture where like, it's not like, it's not as cool to be a girl who like goes down and does extra sessions, you know, like it's almost more popular to like be good without trying that hard, which is very different.
That's one thing I definitely noticed, because I mean, I've been doing like, I've been using the Olympic gym since fourth form, and I remember, I mean, my brother was like, he's 3 years above, and he was like, get out, why are you in here? Yeah. And he's my brother, you know, and that was just the culture. But each year, I guess I had my little gym group that I got used to, because there was normally, I don't know, one other girl, if that. But then this year, it changed. I don't know if that was because of Toby or like the program he sent out, or just, I don't know, the difference in attitude. But like in the last few weeks of school before everything like closed down, there would be quite often like an equal ratio in the Olympic gym of boys to girls, and like you'd never see that before. And that was really fun as well, because it meant that when I went to do my training, there was like a better social aspect, but we were still getting all the stuff done that we needed to. So yeah, I really enjoyed that, definitely.
That's so good for me to hear now, as like a girl who was pretty much always me and one other girl, Georgia Valentine. Yeah, I mean, I did spend most of my life in that gym, but I also happened to be.
Yeah, same. It was when you got injured and up sick, then I was left as the only girl. It was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, sorry for leaving you there, Das. You know, you shouldn't be scared though. You're probably lifting more than those boys anyway.
To know them, I think people need to realize that like other people, they don't actually care that much. Like, that was my biggest issue, was like, I wouldn't go to the boys' side in the upstairs gym, but then when I actually went in there, no one cared, because like, they do have the respect. I was maybe overthinking it.
I think that's a really important message as well to put out to anyone like who's listening to this as well. It's just like, things might seem scary at first, especially if it's like the norm and nobody's doing it. But I can say, as someone who's like kind of pushed those boundaries a bit in different elements of the school, people really, really don't mind if you make a bit of a stir and you start doing things that aren't really the norm. Like, if Darcy and I hadn't started lifting in the Olympic gym, we wouldn't be the athletes we are today. And if I wasn't able to use the free weights in the gym just because the boys were there, like, probably would have quite a big impact on my sporting career to this day. So there are definitely things, just because you're the first doesn't mean you shouldn't be doing it.
And weren't you one of the first girls to make it in View the Duke final? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, okay, that is probably my proudest moment at Wellington College.
Your year at View the Duke was a good one.
Well, at that point, Sophie, Darcy and I will say thank you and goodbye. Keep safe, thanks, and send love to your family, and make sure they know that we're asking for them. And good luck with your exams you've got going on now, and good luck with healing from your current injury.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was really good to talk to you. Really enjoyed it.
What do you reckon the main takeaways there, Darcy, from talking to Sophie and hearing her? Let's think about sort of people thinking about going to America first. What would be your sort of one line thought process on that?
Well, I guess it's just the opportunity. If you're looking to take sport further, of being a student athlete in America, what she said and what I've seen on my visits, it's just like the facilities, the training, the attitude, it just seems like a great experience. And I mean, if you can get a degree in another country, why wouldn't you? It's just, it's pretty cool just to go travel.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the way she spoke so positively about sort of being accepted there and so many friendships and so many relationships straight away was really cool. And I guess that that would be most people's apprehension, wouldn't it? The
well, I really like,
will I have any friends and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I really like the way she said that at her games, it was a bit like being on things I've won. So yeah. I remember this year when the boys were out there, was it Allianz Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were all there and we were like chanting Welly, and I was like, I'm going to miss this a lot. But then when I went out to my visit at Duke a few months later, I was like, this is the same thing and I absolutely love it. Yeah.
That's cool. And how about then sort of, we got into at the end there sort of advice for people, hearing Sophie's story and then you sort of kicking on from her experience the next few years. What would be your advice to people? What can we take away from what Sophie's story was?
Yeah, I think there are a few aspects to her story, but the one thing that stood out is like how she got involved in everything. And one thing I didn't get involved with as many sports teams as I would have liked. Like I did do athletics and a bit of lacrosse in third form, but other than that, I mean, I've mostly stuck to hockey because I did specialise earlier. I think it's definitely good to stay involved in loads. And this year and last year, I made sure to try and do more house events. Like I did house rock climbing this year. It's just so much fun. I did house netball last year and I hadn't played netball for 4 years. And I think just doing stuff, because that one, I mean, there are so many opportunities and there's this crazy number of sports that realistically you won't get the chance to do again, to take those opportunities because you can just have a good time. And like, it made me realise when school closed down, like how great being at Wellington is and being surrounded by people the whole time, and just, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And then also it shocked me a bit when she was talking about like her story in the Marines and like, I guess how the school's changed in terms of like sexism. Maybe I haven't noticed it or I didn't experience it, but like obviously there's a difference between boys and girls sport, but I think now it's equal. Like the opportunity is pretty equal. I think we've got that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's our sort of, Sophie's absolutely inspiring story in terms of the amount of stuff she, I think you said it halfway through.
It was unbelievable.
How does she fit it all in?
Yeah, and then on that, she was always a friendly face around school to everyone. It was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely amazing in terms of showing all the values and, as you say, experiencing some pretty bad experiences, both on her own with injuries and also put herself way out of her comfort zone. I think that's the thing that we would want people to take away. Just throw yourself into stuff, and if someone says you're good enough, then you're old enough, I think, in terms of sport. And you played senior hockey pretty early on, and you played above yourself, and you said you're playing with 27, 28 year olds in club hockey. So all these things are positive experiences.
I think you've got to realize that like people aren't going to look down on you if you have like the aspirations. I mean, I've been playing, like I joined the ladies club team in third form at Surbiton. And some of those ladies had already been to the Olympics, got Olympic medals. And now I realise, I don't know, I could have been annoying, but then also they probably saw in me what they were when they were younger. So I don't think you should let anything like that stop you, definitely. If you've got the opportunity, take it.
That's superb. And thank you so much for your time as well, Darcy. Enjoy the rest of the summer term, whatever that looks like. And I'm sure we'll catch up before you go away. Stay safe. Look after yourself. Take care. Thanks, Darcy.
Thanks. Bye.
Once talking, feeling on a cloud, no, of my own design.